Our gospel lesson is recorded in the third chapter of St. Luke's gospel. This will also serve as the sermon text this morning. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might be the Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but someone mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the strap of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing shovel is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor. He will gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. While he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. I am well pleased with you." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Here again the words of our gospel lesson, Luke chapter 3. Allow me to read the first verse again. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John could be the Christ. This is the word of our God. And so we pray, Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, we're now in the season of Epiphany, a season which we spend time taking a look at Jesus as he's shown and seen as the Son of God and Savior of the world. What a great way to start off that season of Epiphany with the baptism of our Lord, the event that is in our gospel lesson for today. Because here we see three great witnesses to this very fact, that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is that one appointed by God. Jesus Christ is God's Son and the Savior of the world. The first witness of that was John the Baptist himself. John was a powerful preacher. His words were having great effect on all who came to him. They were cut to the heart by his preaching, his message of repentance. So much so that people even wondered, could this possibly be the Christ? Could this be the one that we have all been waiting for, expecting? Look at the way he preaches. Look at what with power he has in the words that he speaks. Look at the way the people are following him. Surely this one must be the Messiah. But John wasn't the Messiah. And he made that perfectly clear. While he may have been a powerful preacher, it wasn't John's preaching that made those great changes in the hearts of all the people who were affected by that message. That was the powerful work of someone who was working through John. That was the work of the Holy Spirit through the word that John preached, the gospel of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That's perhaps an important thing to keep in mind. Perhaps you think, well, I'm not a pastor or a preacher. How can I speak the gospel with somebody and actually affect hearts and make changes in someone's life? You don't need to be a pastor to share the good news that you know. You can share that and know that the Holy Spirit is behind those words as you speak. The fact that John was not the Christ was evidenced by he didn't point to himself when he was set up and said, "Surely this must be the Messiah." Instead, he set the record straight. He was that first great witness in our text. A witness not to himself, but to the one coming after him. You know, the one to whom John couldn't even hold a candle. He was not even good enough to do the lowliest servant's work, of untying his sandals to wash his feet. John said, I can't even stand up to this one who's coming after me. I'm nothing like him. He pointed instead to Jesus. He did the very work that he was born to do. The very work that had been assigned to him even before he was born, when that angel announced to his father what John would accomplish. John said, I baptize with water, but someone mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the strap of his sandals. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. Yes, John pointed as a witness to Jesus as the Christ. That is the one you must believe in. He is the one through whom the Holy Spirit and fire works and comes upon people. Now understand this. John was not discrediting his own baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Rather, he was pointing to the very one through whom that amazing gift of baptism has its incredible power. You see, John's baptism was a powerful and effective means of grace, through which God washed away sin and brought people into his own family by faith. If it weren't so, why would Jesus go to be baptized by John? Jesus received the same blessing, the same gift that you receive in baptism. In fact, Jesus made your baptism powerful and effective as that working of the Holy Spirit and fire to bring faith into your heart and to strengthen those who have that faith to trust in Jesus as Savior more strongly. That's the powerful work of John's baptism, the very same baptism which Jesus underwent, and the very same baptism that Jesus later instituted and commissioned his disciples to do to grow the kingdom of God through baptizing and teaching. This baptism employs the powerful work of God, the Holy Spirit, in the hearts and lives of all who receive it. But Jesus, that one coming after John? That's the reason, John says, that my baptism has power. He baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire. Of course, those words were surely fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, as Jesus later promised to his disciples. On that day, his disciples were anointed with fire, tongues of fire on their heads, as they were blessed with a visible manifestation of the Holy Spirit to be able to speak in languages that they had never learned, so that thousands of people were converted that day through that powerful work of the Holy Spirit and through baptism. That was the powerful baptism of Jesus Christ on Pentecost that Jesus promised to pour out. That same power with which Jesus works worked in your heart and life too. And in the hearts and lives of every person who is brought to a font, to whom the amazing gospel of God's grace and forgiveness in Jesus Christ is proclaimed, John witnessed to that Jesus who is the Christ, who continues to work powerfully in the hearts and lives of all who believe in him, even still today, baptizing believers with the Holy Spirit and fire, even as he is doing right now at this moment in your heart too. So how strange it was then for Jesus, who is the Christ, far greater than John, to whom John pointed as the Christ and Messiah, when that Messiah came to be baptized by John. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. Why did Jesus need to be baptized if he was the Christ, that powerful Savior, the one who rescues you from sin? Why would he need a washing for the forgiveness of sin? Well, Jesus performed that baptism. Jesus received that baptism for you. He did it to fulfill all of the righteous deeds that you lacked in your life. He did it to wash away all the sins that he carried that were put on by you, and by all the sins of the world that were placed upon him. Just as John had said about him, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Yes, he was bearing the sins of the entire world as he went to the waters of the Jordan River to be baptized by John. And there God the Holy Spirit bore a second great witness in our text to this fact that Jesus is the Christ and Savior. While he, that is Jesus, was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. This was a visible manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The text tells us it was in bodily form, something that was visible and tangible. The Holy Spirit had a bodily appearance, and it took the form of a dove. In our Old Testament lesson, we see how God signaled to Samuel that that David would be the next king of Israel. The end of the text tells us that the Spirit of the Lord rushed on David with power from that day forward. I wonder what that looked like. The Spirit of the Lord rushing on David and filling him throughout his life. It must have been obvious in the way that God blessed David in his life, that the Holy Spirit was with him. But what did it look like? The Holy Spirit rushing on him. There's no wonder, though, what it looked like with Jesus. Because God tells us there, the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. What a beautiful object for the Holy Spirit to take. A dove. A symbol of peace. The Holy Spirit, the one who brings us peace with God, pointed out and anointed for all to see that one in the Jordan who was the Prince of Peace, the one who came to set us free from our enemies of sin and Satan and hell. Luke reports about this event later in his other book, the book of Acts. He records a sermon by the Apostle Peter, who said of this event, "You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with fire and with power." You know of that baptism, witnessed by the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit anointed Jesus of Nazareth at his baptism by John the Baptist. That was the Holy Spirit's witness of this Jesus, that he was the Christ who came from God to save his people from their sins. So Peter preached about him. He sent his word to the people of Israel, proclaiming the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Yes, peace through this Jesus, the one who is Lord of all. That was the witness of God's Holy Spirit, present in the form of a dove at Jesus' baptism, to mark him as the very one who would bring peace to the world through his saving work. Friends, that same Holy Spirit that anointed Jesus at his baptism to signify to you that he was the one who brings peace to the world, that same Holy Spirit is at work in you. At your baptism, the Holy Spirit came upon you. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon you abundantly, as Paul tells us in our epistle lesson for today, Titus chapter 3. Through baptism, he says, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Yes, that same Holy Spirit was poured out on you at your baptism. In it you were washed clean of all your sins. In it you were born again as a dear child of your Father in heaven. In it you were renewed by the Holy Spirit, restored in you that new man and gave you that new life of faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And yes, through your baptism is a powerful and effective means to accomplish those great things through the Holy Spirit whom you have received to live as God's dear child. What does that look like for you? Well, it looks like this, right here. You follow God's commands. You rejoice to hear God's word, to receive His sacraments. You have a life that looks different than the life of the rest of the world. While the world rushes speedily by, you pause to hear and listen to these amazing witnesses about Jesus Christ. And then those witnesses shape your life, how you live, the things you choose to do, how you act. What a witness of God's Holy Spirit upon Jesus and also in your life as well. Well, there was one more great witness at Jesus' baptism, a wonderful testimony to who he was. If there was any doubt among those who were there to see John the Baptist, any desire to continue to follow him and put their trust in him as a Messiah and Savior, any misunderstanding about who had come to save them, God the Father also made a powerful witness to put any doubt to rest. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. I am well pleased with you." What a witness for Jesus Christ, from the God the Father himself. What a statement about him to all who heard that voice and saw and witnessed that amazing miracle at the baptism of Jesus. God the Father spoke about Jesus and said, "This one is my Son." It's a fulfillment of the words that we sang from Psalm 2 today. He said to me, "You are my Son. Today I have begotten you." That was Jesus Christ speaking in the Old Testament about the witness of God the Father to him as God the Son. And here God the Father fulfilled those words as he proclaimed to the world that that Jesus in the Jordan River was the Son of God and Savior of that world. There is none greater than Jesus, the ruler of nations, as Psalm 2 points out. Great kings and rulers plot against him, against the Lord's anointed one, against the Father's Messiah, Jesus Christ. And he simply laughs at them because he's in control of all things. In fact, he will use even those powerful rulers to accomplish his purpose. By the crucifixion of God's anointed one at the hands of those mighty rulers, God will make the payment for the sins of all time. This is that one. This is that righteous one. The one who has the Father's full pleasure, the Holy Son of God. Here the Father proclaims him as his own, my Son. How marvelous that would be to receive such accolades, to receive such an endorsement from God the Father. Well, that's exactly what we do receive from him in our baptism. God says to each of you, you are my Son. You are my daughter, the one whom I love, the one in whom I find full pleasure. I am delighted with everything that you do. I am pleased with everything about your life. And perhaps this morning you look at yourself and you say, "Well, that doesn't fit for me. I feel more like chaff when I come this morning to church than like the wheat that's so precious to God. I feel like I'm in terror and in fear of the judgment of the fires of hell." But that's not what God says to you. Instead, he said just the opposite. You are precious to me. You are dear to me. You belong to me. And I am well pleased with you. Yes, what God the Father spoke over his perfect Son, Jesus Christ, he speaks over each one of you for Jesus' sake. My beloved one. My holy one. What a trio of witnesses in our text for today. In this season where we will continue to view Jesus as God's Son and the Savior of the world, at his baptism we see these most great witnesses say exactly that fact as Jesus begins his public ministry. May God bless us as we continue to hear and listen to these great witnesses and many more for Jesus Christ as our Savior. Amen.